This is Amateur Logic, episode 211, for November 14th, 2025. Amateur Logic is brought to you by ICOM. Fall is here, and ICOM rigs are your go-to gear. Whether you're chasing DX from the cozy comfort of your shack or taking your rig outdoors under crisp autumn skies, ICOM keeps you connected through every season. Good evening and welcome to another action-packed episode of Amateur Logic. I'm George.
I'm Dean Martin. I'm Tommy. I'm not Dean Martin this week.
I'm Emil.
And I'm Mike.
And I can see how folks could get y'all confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happens.
I've been accused of it. You generally it's around the last of the month.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Dean Martin, I didn't recognize you not being on your round bed.
And without a martini glass in his hand.
Yes.
Put it in a plastic bottle.
What will you be telling us about a little later?
Well, I was playing around with my Hack RF Portapack I showed before, mm-hmm. and I found out there's an updated firmware for it, some apps.
Some new goodies.
Yeah, some cool stuff.
Cool. Mike, you're going to be, you can tease it. You don't have to give it away yet.
I found a solution, and it works really well. We'll have a look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yep. Emil is the slacker of the month this time around.
Looking but, grinning about
you it. You know. That's just like money in the bank to him.
I'll be watching the cost go through the roof.
But you're outside.
Yeah.
That's why?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's get on into it. Oh, by the way, I'm going to have a Tales from the Transmitter for you here in a few minutes.
Yay.
Have a little mallet handy?
I do.
But go ahead and ask him, Emil.
Was there a snake killing hose?
Yeah.
I almost had to come borrow that this morning. I had some bales of hay in my front yard we used for decorations around Halloween.
Yeah.
And I was giving them away. They're still fine. So I put them on Facebook Marketplace for free. And this girl came by to pick it up today. I was going to load it in the truck for her, and I picked it up, and a snake fell out of one of them down by my feet. Just a little snake, okay. Anyway, still a snake.
Yep. Wow.
So I was going to call you and see if I could borrow it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't use it. I wasn't in the swamp for this Tales from the Transmitter.
Okay.
I was using a rubber mallet instead of a snake killing hoe.
This thing is pretty nifty. Right, let's see if I can turn it on here. It's an Arduino-based HF receiver. Unfortunately, with the whip antenna, it doesn't pick up much because I'm below ground here, but I don't know if you can hear that. It's on the AM broadcast band right now.
Yeah.
But it's all mode. And it's really low cost. I think it cost me $26 Canadian, all in told. And I might have to do something on it because it's open source, which is another neat thing about it. There's already new firmware for it, which I need yet to install. So I may do a Cygnet on that, updating the firmware and putting it through its paces. And it also has a USB mini, which I had to get a cable. It's on order because the mini I have is power only, and you use the mini port to update the firmware. So when I go to do that, I'll have to make sure that I've got that cable on hand.
Not a micro, but a mini?
A mini, yeah.
Wow, you don't see those too much anymore.
No,
the cables are hard to find now. I was surprised.
Yeah. Well, as I promised, here is a Tales from the Transmitter site. It's not what you think. I'll just put it that way. This is today's project. Actually, this is this month's project because it's had problems for that long. Still trying to hunt them down. Came out today, and last night, a little bit of wind blew through, a little bit of rain came, and the transmitter shut down. When I got here, the first thing I noticed is that right up here, the filaments were off, the plates were off, there were no breakers thrown. All of these lights should be lit up in normal operation when everything's ready to go. However, the air interlock, the temperature interlock, and the ready were not lit. That tells me that the air interlock on this transmitter had failed. Why do you need an air interlock? Well, you got a big tube in here. This is a YC-130, capable of about 35 kilowatts of power on the FM band. Fair-sized tube. It's got a chimney around it here, and I've removed one side where we can see. There's a blower under the bottom that forces air up through the fins of this tube, and that goes on out through the chimney. On outside, out of the building, and out the wall to exhaust it outdoors. This tube gets so hot that if you don't have that forced air on it with enough pressure, it'll burn up. So there's an interlock switch behind the tube on the back of the wall there that senses the air pressure and will open the circuits, shut the transmitter down if there's not sufficient air pressure. That sensor was no longer functioning correctly. It needed some adjusting, so I did that. Now I've got some more problems to deal with here. I've been troubleshooting this on and off for over a month now. And it'll run fine for a while. A few hours later, it'll shut down for no apparent reason. So I need to change out some capacitors. There's a number of control cards here for the transmitter. The electrolytic capacitors will dry out after a number of years, become leaky and fail, and that can cause some issues. I've removed three of them here just so we can see that on the back, there are two electrolytics mounted right here on the PC board. I also need to remove those. Those are known to cause problems as well. And my problem is, this is the front side of the transmitter. I've got to walk all the way around here to the back. And this is where the two capacitors are. Now, how can I be back here with the soldering iron warming that up and pulling the capacitors out at the same time? Well, I had to do that in one of these transmitters recently. So here was my solution. I'll take an alligator clip lead, clamp it on one end of the capacitor there, put a little weight, like this rubber mallet here, hang that down. I'll go behind the transmitter now. I'll heat that up. When it gets hot, that weight will pull that capacitor out. Not the most eloquent solution, but one that's worked for me before. Now you can see from the light that I'm working behind it, and I've got the trouble light on the PC board. I'm going to take my desoldering iron, and we'll see if we can't get this first capacitor loose. Well, that went easy enough. So now let's loosen up the bottom of that capacitor. That one's not wanting to let loose as easy. Sometimes it's a little more difficult to get a component desoldered. In those cases, It might help to actually add a little bit of solder to the problem area. Sounds like success. We got one more to go. Short but sweet.
Well, I saw the teaser about the rubber mallet, but you're right. It's not what I thought.
No.
I was waiting for you to smack it.
Yeah. I didn't buy that rubber mallet to pull capacitors out with.
But it's a good secondary use for it.
It is.
They should put that in the documentation.
Well, it was either that or an adjustable wrench about this long, and I figured, I'd go with the rubber mallet.
It was either that or call Jimmy the Torch.
Yep. It kind of, when I heard the crash and it fell out, it reminded me of Jim.
That's funny.
Nice.
I got a news item this month come from the ARRL news site. It's images beamed from space. Celebrate 25 years of ham radio on the ISS, or the International Space Station. Thought it was pretty interesting. Amateur radio on the International Space Station will mark two major milestones this month with a special slow scan television event aboard the International Space Station beginning November 12th through November 20th. So that's going on right now. The station will transmit a series of 12 commemorative SSTV images, pausing only for a scheduled educational contact. The Slow Scan TV Spacetacular will highlight both the recent World Scouting Movement Jamboree on the Air, or JOTA, JOTA, and the 25th anniversary of the amateur radio on the International Space Station, ham radio operators on the International Space Station. For this month's event, scouts, educators, students, and amateur radio operators are invited to receive and decode transmitted images. Participants can upload their received pictures to the ARRIS SSTV gallery and earn a commemorative electronic award certificate. Anyway, it seems like a pretty cool event. I might give it a try.
It's out of this world.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's out there. The space station stuff's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard to believe it's been up there for over 25 years.
It is. I guess we were listening to the Mir space station when we got licensed.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a contact with that.
Yeah. Mike and Tales of the Raspberry Pi.
Yes.
I've been waiting all night for this one.
So I tried a lot of what I would refer to as bare metal solutions, and that is to create solely a Windows 11 image and put it and have it run directly off the Raspberry Pi. But I ran into so many issues with it hanging or crashing, or you didn't have the right drivers, even though Microsoft released an ARM version of Windows 11. There was obviously still work to be done. So I ran across this virtual machine, which actually came canned with Windows 11 install. So let's have a look.
Windows 11 on the Raspberry Pi 5. I had this Raspberry Pi 5 sitting around for a while, so I decided to put it to use. I didn't have a case or a cooling solution, so I went shopping. During my web search, I came across this really nice black anodized extruded aluminum case. One of the nice features is that it provides full-size HDMI video connections. A unique feature of this case is that it offers several different build options. I chose to add an M.2 so I could easily add an NVMe solid-state disk drive. Like most of the standard Raspberry Pi boards today, these boards require some form of cooling in order to reduce the heat produced by these fast processors. I selected a low-profile active cooler to ensure that it would still fit into the case after I installed it. This is the aluminum base plate of the case where all the printed circuit boards are securely mounted. This mounting tray provides a good common ground and simply slides in to the bottom half of the case. In addition to the Raspberry Pi 5's connections, the case provides others as well. Two full-size HDMI, USB-C and Phoenix power connections, and external access to the power reset button and status LED. For the SSD, I settled on the Western Digital Black model SN770. Now that we have all the hardware taken care of, we're going to boot from the microSD card, which already has Raspberry Pi OS on it. In order to make use of the entire capacity of the SSD, we'll need to expand the partition that will be used for Windows 11. To do this, run the gparted utility. Gparted requires elevated access. Enter your password. Once gparted is loaded, notice the two physical disks. MMC is our microSD card, NVMe is our SSD. Note the difference between the two. Select the NVMe disk. Note that the partitions will now indicate NVMe. In my case, I need to expand the ext4 partition so that all of the unallocated disk space will be available for use. Under the partition menu, select Resize Move. The Resize menu should now be displayed where you can make the changes to the partition size. Click and drag the slider all the way to the right in order to allocate all of the unused disk space. Click the Resize button. You should now see that all of that unallocated disk space has been added to the ext4 and NVMe partition. One of the simplest ways to install and manage Raspberry Pi applications is with Pi Apps. Launch Pi Apps and scroll down to the list of available applications until you locate BotSpot Virtual Machine. Click the Install button. Run BotSpot by clicking on BotSpot Virtual Machine from the Office menu. First thing, we need to create a new virtual machine. You do this by clicking on the One button from the menu. Throughout the process, there will be a series of similar terminal windows which show the progress and displays any warnings or errors. Green highlighted status bars indicate that the process is complete. In step 2, we'll be customizing our VM by editing a configuration file. Your VM configuration file will open up in a screen editor where you can make changes. This configuration file is well commented, so I won't go into detail here. Once you are satisfied, don't forget to save your changes. If you noticed from the previous slide, I allocated 40 gigabytes to the installation drive. This space will hold our Windows ISO, as well as any additional files needed for the Windows 11 installation, such as drivers, updates, etc. Clicking on button 3 will fetch all the files needed for the Windows installation. As the downloading configuration progresses, note that all of the heavy lifting has been done for you, including all of the drivers that you should need to make the Windows OS functional on the Raspberry Pi. Now that we have downloaded all the necessary files and made our installation configuration changes, click on button 4 to prepare for installation. Clicking on button 5 will begin the actual Windows installation. Okay, now this is going to take some time to complete, I suspect. Done. All we need to do is click on button 6 to launch Windows 11. In fact, this is a procedure for any time in the future you wish to start up Windows. Call it respecified in the configuration file to use port 3389 for the VM. Here is the brief Win11 ARM startup screen. Here's what we've been waiting for. Windows 11 running on Raspberry Pi 5. Shutting down Windows is the same as you normally would by opening the Start menu and clicking on the power icon. That's it. Close the window by clicking the X at the top right of the terminal window. Or pressing a key will reconnect. That's it. Keen-eyed viewers may have noticed that I downloaded via the Windows Edge browser and installed Paint.net as a test. I can tell you that it runs surprisingly well. 7.3 from Mike, VE3MIC.
I've done that too, Mike. I did it a few months back, and it was surprisingly fast to be on a Raspberry
especially
Pi.
Especially for a to run in a VM that's running another operating system and on a Raspberry Pi. I was really surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not going to outperform a Core i7 running Windows natively, but I would say it's up there with an i3 running Windows natively.
It'll outperform my Core i7 running Windows natively because it won't run Windows 11.
What do you got, like an older second gen or something like that?
It's like, I think it's like one or two gens behind.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's not too bad.
No, it's a great computer. It just won't install Windows 11.
It's actually usable, isn't it?
It is. It's usable. Now, mind you, I wouldn't use it for something like video editing, which is really intensive. No. But for anything like any of the Office apps, like I said, I was using it for Paint.net to edit images, and it's fine. It's just as speedy as anything else that I run it on at the office. So I have certainly no complaints. They've done a really good job with that package and bundling everything up that you need in terms of the drivers, because that'll drive you crazy sometimes trying to find a driver for it.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been back to it. I installed it, saw that it worked, played with it that night, and I haven't revisited it, but I remember that it was fast enough that this really works.
Yeah, it's definitely usable for sure. And I was actually even surprised at how fast Windows boots up on that thing.
Yeah. I had put it on, it's probably a Pi 4 or Pi 3 with a micro SD card a few years ago, and it worked. But man, was it slow.
Yeah,
micro SD cards
are really slow for that.
The M2.
It's just like, I used to run, I think it was EMM 386.
Yeah.
You couldn't really, other than loading the operating system and running whatever apps it came with by default, you really couldn't do much more with it. So, I think the Raspberry Pi 5 has proven that it's ready for the desktop.
But it does need the M.2 drive, doesn't it, Emil?
I would say so. But you know what the most scary thing about everything we just said is?
What?
Mike's editing images. I don't even want to know, Mike.
What's coming?
No propeller hats were harmed during the making of this segment.
Okay. All right.
We're going to be back in just a moment because we got more to go yet.
Pumpkins plaid and plenty of QSOs. Fall is here, and ICOM rigs are your go-to gear. Whether you're chasing DX from the cozy comfort of your shack or taking your rig outdoors under crisp autumn skies, ICOM keeps you connected through every season. Remote ready, contest capable, and built for serious signal, step into the future of amateur radio with ICOM's powerhouse trio. The IC7760 HF digital transceiver, the ICPW2 1 kilowatt HF 50 megahertz linear amplifier, and the all-new RC7760 remote controller. Designed to work in perfect harmony, this system offers full remote operation, high output power, and seamless integration across the bands. The RC7760 remote controller serves as an extra control head, and up to 5 can be registered to the RF deck, though only 1 can be active at a time. For wireless connectivity, simply connect a commercially available Wi-Fi access point via the LAN port. Whether you're working from the shack, the field, or a remote site, you'll experience crystal clear audio, digital precision, and amplifier-grade power, all from a single, unified interface. It's the ideal setup for contesters, MCOM operators, and high-demand users who expect more from their gear. The IC7300 combines intuitive touchscreen control, real-time spectrum display, and superior signal purity into one compact rig. Built for satellite, EME, and weak signal enthusiasts, the IC9700 combines all-mode operation on VHF, UHF, and 1.2 GHz. The IC705 go-to rig for outdoor hams who love POTA and SOTA activations. A large color touchscreen with real-time spectrum scope and waterfall display for intuitive function and setting operation. The IC705 provides big radio features and performance in the palm of your hand. Enjoy HF to 50, 144, and 440 MHz with D-Star, SSB, CW, RIDI, AM, and FM modes. For more information about all of ICOM's great amateur radios, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today. And thanks, ICOM, for sponsoring Amateur Logic.
I'll second that.
Yep. We've got some more things coming. Tommy and I have been working on another video for ICOM that we'll probably share some of it here as well.
Probably so.
Just this week. It's pretty amazing. Email. You had something you wanted to share. Even being a slacker, you can come use somebody else's post off Facebook. I mean, you can muster up enough energy. Yeah.
Yeah. I took the cheap route and remembered a guy who we met, me and Glenn met at one of the field days. And they were just getting started as technicians into the hobby and were at our field day wondering what's it all about. K5FJA, Frank Arnona, down here in Southwest Mississippi with us. I guess I can officially say he done passed us up, George, and it looks like I got some things to learn. Uh-oh. And I bet you he could learn me some things now. He's an extra now, and he's doing most of the club's testing and things of that nature. But recently, he put up a pretty decent-looking tower site for his station. So I'm going to have to go over there and take a look and, like I said, learn me some things from Mr. Frank Arnona, because it looks like he's got quite the station over there.
I'll see.
Set up. I think that's a 70-foot. Deal there, and looks like VHF, UHF, HF beam, and 6 meter beam. Looks like he's set up over there, so I need to go learn me some things, George.
When I saw this in that metal building, I was going to say, wait a minute, is this Email's tower? But then I know you wouldn't have spent the money on the paint.
yeah, no doubt. In my, I gotta say though, that's nice looking. I think one of those antennas lower, GMRS as well. So
Emil's tower would be made out of pool noodles.
Oh, but that's quite nice. The setup, man. Very, very nice. I'm jealous. I had a dream about having something like that.
I hope they remembered to attach the feed line before they hoisted it up into the upright position.
Glenn, I think Glenn was there. There is a video of it on the W5SLA site or Facebook page if you want to see him raising it. Nice. Glenn took some video. And yeah, I think they got the coaxes set up.
Wow. Nice setup there.
I mean, it's very nice. One of these days.
So Tommy, what have you been up to?
About 6 foot? Oh. Same thing I was up to when I told at the beginning.
We're
playing around with my Hack RF. I've actually been using that thing a pretty good bit. And anyway, had a firmware update, so let's take a look at the changes. Recently showed you my Hack RF H4M. I was going to do a project with it, and I was doing some research, and I actually see that there's a new firmware update. So I haven't updated the firmware on it yet. They don't come out very often, but it's only a 0.1 increment. Increase in version, so I'm not sure if there's anything new on it or not, but I thought I'd kind of run through the upgrade process and just see how well it goes. So I don't know how, like I said, this is the first time I've ever done it, and hopefully it won't be the last time, because I think they're constantly developing it. Upgrading it should be pretty easy. I've got a USB cable hooked up to my computer, Windows 10 computer, and I've got a USB-C on one end. I'm going to plug it into my Hack RF Porta Pack, and it boots up. I'm going to go ahead and turn the switch on just so I can charge the battery if it's not full. Let's go to the computer to upgrade it. It should be easy as going to a website. It's HackRF, .app, I believe. So let's see what happens there. Oh, there it is. I've been on there before. And it's pretty cool. It actually connected right away because I've done it before. This website is actually neat. You can see on the computer exactly what's on the screen. It doesn't update in real time. It's a little bit sluggish. So if you're using the waterfall display or things like that, it's not actually live, but it gives you a snapshot of it. Let's take a quick look at it. You can turn it on and off with the little switch at the bottom. You can use these buttons to move the cursor down or up. And you can see on the screen, it's doing the same thing I'm doing on the PC. If you touch one of them, it goes straight into that one, just like touching it on the other. Go back to receive. Pretty cool. You can reboot it, do a DFU reset, see what's on the apps folder, all that stuff. This is the stuff that's in my SD card. That's pretty cool. So let's go ahead and take care of the firmware. We go scroll down to the bottom of the screen and you can see manage firmware button. It says I'm on version 2.1.0. And there's the stable one that I've got on that came to the device when I bought it. The newest one is 2.2.0. Let's click on that link and see if it shows us what's changed. Okay, fake brightness re-implementation, app manager, and 10 parser. I have no idea what some of this stuff is. Something with the navigation buttons, Docker improvement, some stuff to the frequency manager, WeFax. WeFax warning fix. I didn't notice WeFax on there before. That's pretty cool. I used to do that a long time ago. Oh, added WeFax freakman file. Okay, so you can see there are a lot of fixes, bug fixes. I don't see anything right off the bat that looks like new features, but we'll take a look at it after we get it on there. So let's go ahead and close this, go back to the app, and I'm going to update to the latest stable release. I'm not too into the bleeding edge stuff these days. I used to like that, but not right now. So let's update, see what happens. Oh, it's actually doing something. Upload in progress. Upload complete. So now what? We need to reboot it. Looking firmware. Oh, we got to connect now. Okay, so this is what normally happens when you first put it, hook it up. So let's see, connect. Refresh the browser. Oh, now it's connected back. Just had to refresh the browser for some reason. Incidentally, speaking of browser, it will not work for every browser. It'll work with Chrome and Edge. It will not work with Safari. It needs to have, the browser needs to support web serial, and Safari does not. So I'm using Chrome here. I have Edge on this computer as well, but I use Chrome most of the times. So let's see if we can find anything new in here. Let's go to apps. I'm hoping the apps are all updated. Graphics equalizer. I don't think that was there before. WeFax. Detector. Three pages of apps now. For receive only. Oh, it's just three rows down there. Scrolling down one row at a time. But we did do the firmware update. I did have one more thing I wanted to try. If you remember last time I was talking about trying to watch the analog TV app to see if I can see my drone video, an old analog transmitter that I've got on there. So give me a second to set that up and then let's give that a try and see if we can. Okay, I've got my little Isshin, I think it is. Lizard. Lizard 90, I think, maybe 90 millimeters. So I'm going to go ahead and see if I got a little juice in this battery. See if we can see the TV video. Okay, there it goes. It is a little juice in there. Hopefully you can see, yeah, you should be able to see that. So let's see if we can figure out which frequency this thing's on. So I'm going to go back to the main one. And I think Looking Glass is where we want to go. And we'll go to minimum 5, I don't know, 700. Done. And the maximum would be 700. Let's see if we can find something when I turn this off. I think that's it. So let's try this. I did go back in and into Looking Glass somewhere right there, and I zoomed in here. I went to the marker. I've got it down to 5700 to 5800. So that's definitely it right there. 5739.89. So let's pull the plug on this. And we see it stops. 5739.89. So let's try one more time. 5739.89. Analog TV, 5739.89, should be close enough. And I don't see any picture whatsoever. See just a gray box. So I'm thinking it's not going to work for that. I see some stuff going on when I tune it, but it just doesn't sync to it. I don't know what the deal is with these, but I couldn't get the video receive on the IC905 to pick it up either. So I don't know. It must be something strange with it, some kind of sync thing, but never would sync with it. You could kind of see it, but not really right. So I think I'm gonna give up on this one as a failed try. I may play with it again a little bit later, but anyway, that's how you update the firmware. There's some other neat new things on here. Let's see what else we can find. I do see we got WeFax. We'll play with that some later. I'll have to get the antenna set up. My antenna's down in the backyard right now, so probably not gonna have much luck with that. Radio Sunday, graphics equalizer was not there before. Let's get rid of this. It's going to time out because it hasn't been used. So, put on a regular radio station. So we'll try 106.7. And I'll turn the sound on just for a minute.
Peace magnificently by Mike English at Ross Furniture. Guys, you will not see another home like this in the area. Come take a tour with us.
Well, good furniture commercial. So, not sure what the good that is, unless you just like to see the blunt, bouncy colors. So, I'll have to experiment some more with it and see what else is new in here, but at any rate, that's how you update the firmware on your HackRF port-a-pack. You have to have version 2.0, I believe, on it to use the app, the website to update it. Otherwise, you have to do it the old school way to get it past the 1.something version into the 2s. So it was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. I was afraid I was going to have to download all those apps by hand and put them in the file folders and the SD card and so forth, but really nice that it took care of all of it for you. Anyway, 73, see you next time.
So that is an open source project.
Yeah.
Cool.
It is.
So you could hack your HackRF.
Yeah, it's been done.
And your drone looks like it's good at streaming Outer Limits episodes.
Yeah. That For some reason, those drone videos, I don't know why they don't seem to, the sync doesn't lock on it. I don't know why. When I had that 905 at the house, I tried to look at that video from it too, and it never would sync either. I mean, that's the only analog one I've got. That little drone will fly like 90 something miles an hour, man. That little bitty thing is 95 millimeters.
Wow.
You don't want to be in front of that thing when it's going.
Yeah, you have the goggles. I think I saw you wrote that the FPV works fine with it.
Yeah, it does. I've got the goggles. The goggles sync up fine. Works perfect.
Yep.
Something about it just doesn't like the standard stuff.
Yeah. Do they do any drone racing down your way at all?
Not here. They have it up in Memphis. Oh. They used to, but don't too many people do it too much anymore.
I wonder if they do like a tractor pull with them. Interesting.
Yeah. That's a cool little device, though.
How much were those?
The Heck RF?
Yeah.
Well, before the tariff thing, I got mine for like $279 or something like that. But they're way more than that now.
Oh, they'll come back down.
Yeah.
We're going to be back in just a moment.
At the end of each month, it's Amateur Logic's Ham College, the new show for those new to the hobby and those wanting to get into amateur radio.
Which of the following is a purpose of the amateur radio service as stated in the FCC rules and regulations?
That inductor and capacitor form a tuned circuit. That's how you tune the radio to the frequency that you want. The English language.
We lived in town. I liked it. I listened to mine a lot. It was really cool because you didn't have to have a battery to power them.
There's our homemade telegraph station. We can use it for long distance communications. Oh, like, 3 feet here?
Across the table.
The answer is B. Voltage was named after Italian physicist Alessandro Volta.
We can see we're generating a little bit of electricity there. It's DC.
It's always great to go back and get a refresher.
It sure is.
A lot of that stuff, if you've been a ham for a while like we have, you don't really think about a lot of that stuff that often.
They didn't have electric screwdrivers in those days, so that's why we're not using one.
That's why we went primitive with it.
Yeah. So let's see if we can hear anything when we fire off our spark gap transmitter. Well, we didn't build anything or blow up anything today, but...
The night's still young.
Who were those young men?
I don't know. They look vaguely familiar. I think I've seen them somewhere before.
Yeah.
On YouTube, maybe.
Probably so.
That was 20 years ago.
No, that wasn't 20 years ago.
It looks like it.
Yeah.
I was noticing my hair was darker before I got these extra highlights in here. Got my beard lightened up.
Yeah. I've got an email...
Real email? Get out of here.
Yeah.
What? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Do those?
Not.
Where's the stamp? Yes.
These were sent electronically, if you recall. Yeah. They still got them, obviously. I've got one. And this one came from our friend Jocelyn Brault. You remember on the last... Amateur Logic, our 20th anniversary edition, where we look back at those old episodes.
I do remember that one.
And Chris Brawl on there.
Yeah.
Little
shy
Chris. Yep. Little shy Chris.
Poor shy little fellow.
This is his father. And he tells the story pretty well here. He says, "Hi, guys. I was finally able to watch the 20th anniversary show last night. I know almost a week late. I wanted to thank you for including Chris's segment at Hamvention in 2016. Wow, that was 9 years ago. Chris was very happy to be part of the show, as you could tell. He was a natural man.
I mean.
Yeah. We met George and Tommy earlier that year at the Huntsville Hamfest in the hotel lobby, and the friendship was born. That was a fun night, and it's a shame that doesn't really happen anymore. That was really, you remember that?
Yeah, I remember well. It was a great time.
Everybody got together there in the lobby. Maybe we can get the band back together and do that again.
I hope so. It'd be great.
The VOA Museum went through some renovations, a big step up from when you last visited. The antenna switching matrix is still there after 82 years.
Wow.
Man, that's some good Chris O post in that thing.
I mean.
But it's showing its age. If you're going to Hamvention 2026, please let me know. I would be happy to take you to the museum and show you around. Thanks to all of you for keeping our community engaged. Jocelyn, KD8VRX.
Well, I'm planning on going this year, so that'd be great to go by there and see it again.
That would. There's some of this stuff we saw, but some we didn't.
First baby walker strong. Wow.
Wow. First sports car in America? That was the Ugly.
What?
The Ugly.
You sure it's not the Fugly?
It could be that. Yeah.
No electricity refrigerator.
Wow.
That's cool. That's how the camper ones are. They work off of ammonia.
Yeah.
Those little tiny little flame.
Now, I think that refrigerator was there the year we went, but...
Actually, the year you and I were there, George, the Crosley radio van was there. Did you see that?
I must have, but it's not ringing a bell.
I forget what vehicle it actually was, but it was pretty well done. They did a lot of restoration work, apparently, on that.
I hope we can go next year, 2026.
If everything holds true.
Well, I'd like to see the museum again.
Yeah,
if we
me too.
Work that out. That really, it was interesting then. And it looks like maybe it's more interesting now.
I wonder if Dave Snyder's still there.
I don't know.
Wasn't that his name?
Yeah.
The guy that gave us the tour of the switching matrix. It's cool stuff, man.
You got something over there?
Yeah, so I thought I'd just mention this. I saw Dave. Remember Dave? NTV.
I haven't talked to him in a long time.
Yeah, I saw he posted in the Amateur Logic group that 15th annual Santa Watch Net on the Dewdrop In Radio Network on Christmas Eve. It's going to be going on this year. I guess they'll be releasing the details on Thanksgiving morning. So look at the Facebook group for that.
Yeah, that's a big on the air event every year.
Yeah, I've listened to it a couple times. I hadn't checked in on anything on it, but anyway, usually kind of tied up. But if you got time, check it out. A lot of people get on there.
Yep.
But
I wonder if Dave still runs the beer net on D-Star.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think he retired.
His note is called Star Beer Star or something like that.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
hoser.
Why not?
Email. Any fun events coming up down your direction?
I don't know. I'm kind of thunderstruck. My youngest daughter is married, working, gainfully employed, and out of the house.
What more could a father ask for?
That's right.
So y'all are empty nesters now?
Yeah, pretty much.
They come back, though.
Well,
I was an empty nester for a couple of years, and they came back.
Oh, no. You're shattering my dreams, Mike.
I got COVID to thank for that. They never left after COVID.
No, I'm starting to think, George, that I might be able to focus on the cheap old Jack. We're going to see.
Oh.
I have the fiber. I have the power. Just need the effort now. None of my focus can be freed up. I use the term free loosely.
Yeah. No kidding. It's probably not going to be free.
No.
Yeah. But hey, the shack is there. You got lights in there.
Did you say you rewired your network for 2.5 gig?
Yeah, I in the house, I've replaced the normal switches that coming up, which were all gig stuff, you know, distribution switches throughout the house, to Ubiquiti's 2.5 gig with a 10 gig SFP plus uplink. So oh, okay. The Shack's nice. Going to get the Shack's going to get a 10 gig link over there with a Wi-Fi access point. And it's multi-mode.
Have you got enough power now to run all those Bitcoin mining machines?
Actually, yes. The Shack is a whole another 200 amp service. So,
single phase or did you go three phase?
Single. There's nothing over there doing anything with three phases. Okay. Yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, we'll be looking for an update on that. Hopefully, you can pull that off in the upcoming year here.
Yeah. Nice to get your radio gear back on there.
Yes.
Exactly. It's killing me that my ICOM's sitting in a box along with the AL80B. So.
Yep.
And I have dreams of the 500-foot skywave loop in the trees here.
Now, that's a plan.
Yeah.
Mine's only, around 230-something feet long, I think, which really? Is fine for 80 meters, yeah. But it'd be nice to have a 500-foot.
Every year,
we'll see.
Yeah.
Every year I threaten to put up a loop antenna once the foliage, because half of my lot is actually kind of bush, and it's kind of tough going getting through that stuff.
Same with me.
Well, cold weathers are getting here, Mike. It's about antenna season, isn't it?
It is, almost.
As soon as it gets a little bit more ice on the ground.
Well, you know what? The ground was covered with white. When was that? Last Monday, I think. We had snow covering the ground for a couple of days, and then we got rain and it melted.
Yep. Yeah, we dropped to the 25s here. I'm sure y'all did too, George. The 20s.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Got chilly here for a couple of nights. It's back feeling nice today.
Yeah. Shorts and t-shirts on.
Yep. You know, this is our November episode.
Where's the turkey?
Well, I'm
right
I'm
there.
I'm getting concerned about next month. Is this a lead in for what are we going to do for next month?
Yes, what are we going to do for Christmas?
I don't know. Every year we go through the same thing and I don't know how many more rabbits I can pull out of my hat.
Well, that's why I was scared when you said you were editing images. I knew it had to be related.
Yeah, we got to work that out.
Yeah.
Sooner than later, for sure.
Yeah. Definitely. I know, you know, the Christmas thing is, people are probably tired of that by now. The Christmas episodes.
Interesting.
Rubber
mallets. Rubber mallets and capacitors. Oh, yeah, I got to put my thinking cap on.
Yep. No hose involved. But, yeah, I don't know. Last year was pretty good. We had a pretty good one last year. So maybe we can pull a rabbit out of the hat, Mike.
We always seem to do at the last minute, don't we?
Yeah.
Yep. Something happens.
It would be better to do it a little bit earlier. A little less stress. Yes.
Yep. Tis the magic of the season. I never did do my segment on VLC's television system, did I?
No.
Ah, I'm going to have to do that. I thought I started recording it. When I got the Pi 5, I started watching every possible episode of American Pickers on the Raspberry Pi 5 using VLC's playlist feature. Interesting stuff. I'll have to do that segment.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah. Tom says the Christmas episode is like watching somebody slip on a banana peel. It never gets old. It is similar.
Actually, don't give Anil any ideas.
No.
Rubber those mallets, poor bananas. Banana peels.
Tom, the ATEM won't play video files. It has a media player, but it does steal frames.
I don't know why they call it that.
Yeah, I don't media know either. Player. Yeah,
they should call it still media for what it is. Yeah.
They sell a separate box that will play video files.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like $500, isn't it?
I don't know what it is.
It used to be. I think it may be more now.
I mean, I've got a perfectly good Windows 11 machine. I don't do anything. Or Windows 10 machine. I don't do anything else with anymore.
It'll play video.
Yep. Until the VLC crashes. But anybody got anything?
Nope, I'm good. Okay. I think I'm going to go find some supper. Fix it too.
Best $26 I ever spent.
Okay. Nice. I'll be looking to hear more on that.
That is Kaiser. Sit, buddy. Good boy.
Look at the side he just gave you.
He's been, he's more interested in what's moving out there in the dark woods because there's some noises coming from out there.
He's ready to move back to town.
Yeah, he's like, man, he's my protector out here.
He looks like he's looking to be protected.
Yeah.
He might.
Yeah.
Like
I don't know. Look at the ears go back. That's not a good sign of a protection type dog.
I was petting him. Yeah, I was petting him. I did that.
Well, hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving, which is only a couple of weeks away.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, be here before you know it.
It's Turkey Day next week, isn't it?
Is it Turkey Day in Canada?
The week after next.
No, we had our Turkey Day back in October.
October.
Yeah. Did I miss something?
I don't know. He was pointing at me. I'm not sure why. When we were talking about
turkey, you were pointing at me.
I thought that might be. All right. Well, join us for the next time college, which I don't know when it'll be, but.
What? Stay tuned to the socials.
It's the social networks. Speaking of the social networks.
I suspect it'll be the 28th.
Well.
Oh, that's Black Friday.
Yeah.
It'll have to be either next week or the following week after the 28th.
Probably so. That would be December the 5th.
Yeah, because I don't think I'm going to be able to do it on that Friday.
I've got family in town, so probably won't be. But December the 5th.
It's looking like a prime candidate.
Yep, possibly. And the next Amateur Logic, looks like probably December 19th.
Works for me.
I don't know. Kaiser, is that all right?
You good, boy? Yeah? All right. He said yeah.
He's trying to decide if he needs to run from whatever's in the woods.
Yep. All right. Well, 7-3, everyone.
7-3, everybody. Good night.
7-3.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Mill's got an all Blair Witch Project on us.
The Northern Lights?
Near us.
Wow.
The reservoir.
That's great, man.
Wow. Wow. All the way down there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, close.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty good.